Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we want to welcome you to Cowboy Church. This is going to be a really, really special sermon today.
Well, I
hope, isn't it?
Well, I'm always better at telling you that after it's done.
Okay.
And in fact, I kind of like to leave it as a surprise.
Okay.
That way we can do this introduction for like 50 other messages.
Exactly.
And we do that every once in a while.
You know, a lot of people ask me for Cowboy Church. They say, hey, I just watched you on the TV and you're here this morning, you know, if I'm out somewhere singing. And I said, well, you know, that's a big secret on how we do that, you know. That's air travel.
Yeah. Well, and this morning, what we're hoping for, and, you know, one of the things that's happened, somebody came up to me and says, hey, they changed the time of your program.
Oh, yeah.
They were real offended with that, mm-hmm. You know? And I just like to say they just scooted us down a little bit.
And
we have a better time slot now than what we had before. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of excited about that.
We're just glad to be here. You know, there's so many people that are shut-ins. There's people that can't go to church. They're a long ways from town. They're out on a ranch somewhere. Or maybe they just need to feed cattle in the middle of winter. I am so grateful that we're here. And it's because of you and all the contributions that you send to us that we can stay on this channel.
Probably had a lot of introduction, but what we need to do is get started.
Yes.
We're going to some music right now mm-hmm. to prepare your heart for worship.
Have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one else above you? You fill my heart with laughter, and somehow you make it better. You ease my troubles, that's what you do. For the morning sun and all its glory greets the day with hope and comfort too. You fill my heart with gladness and take away all my sadness. You ease my troubles, that's what you do. There's a love that's divine, and it's yours and it's mine, like the sun. And at the end of the day, we should give thanks and pray to the one, oh, to the one. Have I told you lately that I love you? And have I told you there's no one else above you? You fill my heart with gladness and take away all my sadness. You ease my troubles, that's what you do.
You know, sometimes in less healthy families, relationships, when we do wrong, sometimes the ones that we love the most are the last that we look to for that comfort. Because maybe it's a drop dead, maybe it's a, why in the world did you do that? Those are the first people that we should look to.
There's a love that's divine, and it's yours and it's mine. The sun. And at the end of the day, we should give thanks. only one have I told you lately that I love you. Have I told you there's no one else above you? You fill my heart with laughter, and somehow you make it better. You ease my troubles, that's what you do. You take away all my sadness, you fill my heart with gladness. You ease my troubles, that's what you do. Thank you, Lord. You can play the games and you can act out the part, though you know it wasn't written for you. So tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart, ashamed of playing? One thing can lead to another. It doesn't take any sacrifice. Oh, father and mother, sister and brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice.
Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel.
And things are
ourselves. When we see someone that needs that comfort, we're to give it to them, and then they in turn give it to someone else. That's a principle that God has, because if we have a stream and it just goes into a lake and that stream is cut off, then that lake will become dry and it'll be yucky. It's not alive anymore. So if we get that comfort and don't share it with someone else, Margie, we dry up. We're no good.
Show them the way that you feel. Shower the people you love with love, and show them the way that you feel. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel.
Father, we love you today, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, yes, we're taping this for a show, and Lord, lots of people are going to watch it, and I pray that they are blessed by this. But Lord, most of all, our energy goes into these people sitting in these stands right now, and even the people that are behind these cameras and in the bus, Lord, today. Father, I ask you to prepare our hearts for the message that Russ is going to speak right now. Speak through him, Lord. Even if you need to change his message, change it. If you have someone in here that needs to hear something specific, I want you to speak through him, Lord, so that they can be changed. We all can be changed. Lord, we love you and thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that ministers to each one of us individually as only he can. Thank you.
Romans chapter 12. We've been going through Romans and doing a study on Romans, and this morning I think we have hit the mother load of what Romans has. And it says this. Now, just I want you to understand something about this particular moment. What it is, it's where it's not talking about salvation. Understand, this is not salvation. This is what happens when people actually, when they commit their life to Christ, they begin to follow through with it. And here's the steps. And it gives us the steps here. And when we go through steps, now, and it's not a formula, but there are steps. And when we go through the steps, we get to a place where our whole reason for existing is to find out why in the world God put us here on the face of this earth. I mean, that's the big thing. We keep tapping into that. And sometimes we have an idea for today. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to be here today. Sometimes we have an idea of the big picture. We don't know how we're going to get there. But all of us have these separate kind of journeys that we go through. But this, in particular, is talking about a moment before God that we realize who we are and the process that it took to get there. So it says this, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Well, isn't God supposed to do that? Well, he helps us, but it's our job to clean it up, okay? You know, you've heard this deal that says, "You catch the fish, I'll clean them." That's just backwards. That's not right. No man comes to the Father unless the Father draws him. And it's our job through discipleship and through our own personal disciplines to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our or your reasonable service. This is how you go about it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by, and here's where we get to the meat of the message this morning, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would help us to understand how to renew our mind. God, help us to understand how to deal with the process of the dialogue that happens in our head and how we can direct it. Lord, I pray that today that this would be inspirational to every single person, that this would transform the way we live. In Jesus' name, amen. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, transform says this. It says, make a thorough or dramatic change in the form, appearance, or character of. It's like a... The kids used to had these toys called Transformers. You remember having to buy those for the kids? And there would be a person transforms himself into a car, or a car transforms, like a boat would transform itself into a car. Have you seen those car planes? You can drive them down the road and they have their wings up, and then you push a button and the wings come out and it flies. It's transformed. That's the idea of transformed, and the Bible tells us that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
And it has to do with this. It has to do with our inner dialogue. I was talking with Anna the other day and was dealing with a situation, and she made a powerful statement to me. She says, "You don't understand what goes on in my inner dialogue." Guys, I'm going to tell you, that I have some answers for you. But these may not be the answers you think that you need. One thing is the Bible's pretty clear on a couple of concepts, and it's really clear on how we should think. And I'm gonna go through these, just some steps. I started researching this about inner dialogue, and understand that your inner dialogue is different than the next person's inner dialogue. And the reason is we begin to build the way that we think as a child. And we're all absolutely different. I know, you men, you're thinking, "Oh, you're going to give me some insights on how my wife thinks." It's not just your wife. It's everybody. We are as diverse as your faces in the way that we think. And it's important that we understand why God put us together the way he did, and so that we can begin to understand how we think and why we think the way we do, and how to control it, how to get the better of it. There was a guy who, I could not find who said this. It says, "But the thoughts become our deeds become our habits become our character, our character becomes our destiny." So the most important part of this is the beginning, is the thoughts, the heart of thoughts. So Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." See, people don't always say what they're thinking. There's some interesting things about your brain. Your brain has two sides to you. Even inside your own brain, you have two sides, and they argue with each other. You have your logical side and you have your emotional side. Do you know that? Yeah. The logical side of your brain is really disgusted most of the time with the emotional side of your brain. What we learned is that these synapses, as we develop our thoughts and continue our thought, these become highways of transfer between the two sides of your brains. And so there's some interesting things that happen. I don't know how many of you have ever been around what they label a ADHD kid. Yeah. I probably was one. I raised one. His name was Shay. And what a ADHD child is basically the synapses between the two sides of his brain are not formed because there's not a routine. If there's routine, it helps connect the two sides of the brains. So this is basically what would happen to our house every morning when we started to go to school. The school bus was coming by. "School bus is here. Oh, no." And he always looked like, this is old school reference, but remember how Dagwood would run out of the house to get to his car because he's late for work? We had a little Dagwood, and his coat's half on. He's carrying his lunch pail, and he forgot his books, and papers are flying everywhere. It was chaos at our house. So I thought, we got to change. Something's got to change. I mean, our sanity was on the edge of being insanity. And so I said, well, it takes 27 days to develop a habit. I'm going to develop some habits here. So I took and organized the things that needed to happen the night before. You know, you put his clothes together, you put his homework together and set it at the door, and you put his lunchbox, except for the part that needs to be in the refrigerator, you get it set out. You know, you organize it all, have it all set together, so when he's leaving, he just has to pick it up and he's gone. Then what we did, I've set him through a series of five things every morning. I would wake him up. I would take him by the hand to the restroom because that was the first place we disconnected. And then after that, where did he go? He might be out with little animals. It was a train wreck. So I would stay there till he was done. Then we would go immediately to brush your teeth. We would go through the putting your clothes on. We would go to breakfast. We'd go through this whole process, the whole routine. And by the time the bus got there the first morning, we had everything put together. I said, you're going to get, if it takes 27 days to develop a habit, you need 30 days. So for 30 days, I'm going to wake you up at exactly the same time. 30 days, you don't get Sunday off for this. We're going to go through the routine and we'll set it up. 30 days. And I'm going to tell you, an interesting thing happened. We ended up with a new son. We had peace in our house. And I was talking to the mental health guidance counselor for Johnson County, and he told me, he said, if every parent would do this, we could basically do away with ADHD. And then he explained to me about these synapses between the two sides of your brains that have to be developed. It's a physical thing. When we lost him in a car wreck, we were devastated. Just going to tell you, I became ADHD. I would wake up in the morning. I felt like my whole file system was thrown in the middle of that. This is how I describe it. My whole file system was thrown in the middle of the living room. And I get up with one thing on my mind and I try to figure out where that was, and I couldn't find it. By the time I located it, I was so tired, I thought, forget it. I just throw it back in the pile, and it was over. I knew I needed some help, and so there was a dear friend of ours that gave me a calendar keeping process and sent me to school on how to keep my calendar together. It was life-saving. And I started to go to the office every morning at exactly 9 o'clock, and I would work through my system so that I would remember what I had the day before, and I'd work through that. And by noon, I was shot. I was done, and so I'd leave the office at noon. I can't take any. I was never a good office person, but I needed that help. Lo and behold, an interesting thing happened, and I learned later how valuable that gift was to me, because when you have trauma or grief, the synapses between those two sides of your brain actually tear. They rip into, you become ADHD. There's not a connecting point to the other side of your brain. And so because in the middle of grief, what you do is you wake up and you think, where was I? What do I do? And you can start something, and then it changes side of your brains and you're into something else. And think, what was I doing? And about 3 months after the grief, there's a thing that begins to happen inside your brain. Your synapses begin to rebuild. And you have from 3 months to about a year on average where those synapses repair themselves, and you can actually become who you always wanted to be. And it's a great gift that God gives you in the middle of your grief.
Thank you for your support for Cowboy Church. It's been wonderful to see the financial support come in. Because of you, we can stay on the air. You can write to us at the address shown on your screen right now. We love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.